Hello and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And we decided to try something new today.
We did.
And I'm having a belching beaver seltzer.
You know what that's going to do?
Make me burp.
Make you belch, baby.
Oh, that was really underwhelming.
Oh, I was burping on command. This is a new thing.
I can burp on command.
Can you do it without taking another sip?
Nope. Wait.
Oh,
that was
a little tiny baby squeaked out.
When I was younger, though, for sure, I would practice.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have 5 brothers, dude. Are you kidding me? Burping on command was the holy grail.
I'm drinking Harmonia Mango Wheat Ale. Pretty good.
Mine's a raspberry blackberry.
Ooh, this belching beaver is good. I like the blackberry.
Ooh, yours is good too.
Yeah.
This is very smooth.
It is smooth.
Yeah.
I like how yours is very blackberry forward.
It is. And I'm a huge blackberry fan. I think that's my favorite berry.
I think that's my favorite.
I think
berry.
It's my, raspberry and blackberry are my favorite fruits, I think.
Mine too.
Yeah.
How cute.
That's really cute.
That's so
hold my
cute.
Hand.
Yeah.
It's really cute. Yeah. People always give me shit for that.
Why? They're so good.
They're like, oh, not a strawberry, not a blueberry. No.
Here's the thing about blueberries.
I know what you're about to say, and I'm 100% behind you. Go. Finish your sentence.
If they're not hard and sour, they're disgusting. They're mushy and nasty.
They are not consistent enough. When you get a really good blueberry, it's amazing.
It's perfect. Probably the best taste.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
1 out of 10 is what you get.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so bad.
And it pisses me the fuck off.
And when they're mealy.
Oh my God. No. It makes me never want to eat again.
Unacceptable.
When you eat a bad blueberry, it's horrid.
Yeah. Oh, it's enough to make you become one of those monks that only eats one grain of rice a day. And that's all you eat forever.
Literally.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad we're on the same page with that.
Yeah. People give me shit for that. And you know what? I don't care. Cancel me.
Yeah. Cancel us.
Big blueberry. We get a knock at the door. It's Violet Beauregard. Boop, boop, boop.
Oh my God. At first I was like, who is that?
Yeah, and strawberries are fine to me, but strawberries are the same thing. When you get a really good strawberry, it's amazing. But a lot of the time, they're not super flavorful. It's just disappointing.
A strawberry has to have that perfect, sugary taste.
Yeah, it has to be, sweet, a little bit of tartness to
it.
And, a lot of times, like I said, they just taste like water.
No, I completely agree.
But, blackberries and raspberries consistently are so good. And when they're a little overripe, they just get really sweet. And when they're a little underripe, they're just more tart, and that they taste good both ways.
Wow. Yes.
Yes.
Preach. Amen, sister.
Preach. Yeah, that's my... I actually, I don't really like fruit. I cannot tell you the last time I ate a fruit. Probably when you made those Valentine's Day margaritas and you brought over strawberries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've never purchased fruit.
You've never purchased fruit?
I mean, I'm sure I have at some point, but I couldn't tell you in the last 5 years.
Wow. I think the last purchase I made of fruit was blackberries, actually.
Fruits are just so expensive, and they go bad so fast on accident.
You know what? You should just plant your own fruit.
I would love to do that.
And then you can just have it anytime you want.
The reason I love blackberries so much is because on my grandparents' old farm, there were blackberry bushes all along the back end of where their property started. And we would go back there and just eat them right off of the bush.
Hell
it was
yeah.
So good.
Love that.
Farm to table, baby. That's literally.
Literally, yeah.
Actually, we cut out the middleman. No table.
No table.
Just farm to mouth.
That's even better.
Yeah, that was the best super hot, humid day in Illinois. And you'll just be over there picking berries. Oh, amazing.
That sounds like a really nice day.
It was really wonderful, yeah.
We had apple picking in my hometown.
Oh, fun.
That was nice.
You had apples on your property, or you'd have to go somewhere to do
No,
that?
You'd have to go to the apple orchard, but that's the only thing I can think of.
I've never been apple picking.
Oh my God. We should go to my hometown and go apple picking. And then you have apple cider donuts.
That sounds like a really expensive apple picking.
Well, yeah, we have to fly to New York, but
fly to New York, take a train up.
It's fine. We can do it. There's so many things I want to do in New York with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
I know. So we should do it.
Oh, you guys.
What?
If you're not on Patreon yet, go get on Patreon because we just released a new video and it's really fun and we talk about movies.
We did.
And go jump in there. It's the best.
Yeah, we literally recorded so much stuff yesterday and talked for so long that I am even shocked that we're able to speak at all today.
I think that's why I'm so tired today. Yeah. I talked too much.
Too much talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your battery just went boo.
Oh, yeah. The social battery is low. Very low.
Yeah.
And then I had a photo shoot today, too, so I, like, had to talk to people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So how are you going to even get through this at all?
Sheer spite.
At least there's so much drama in celebrity world that we can
so
talk about.
So much drama in the LBC.
Oh, my gosh.
It's getting a little hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's so much tea going on in the Hollywood world right now, guys.
Okay, well, you got to tell me, apparently...
oh, my God.
Vanderpump Rules.
Okay. I know you don't watch Vanderpump Rules, but I have to talk about this with somebody because this is crazy.
But I used to work in a production studio across the street from one of their restaurants.
Sir?
Is that the one that has all the flowers everywhere?
Pump?
Pump, maybe.
Tom Tom?
Not Tom Tom.
It was probably Sir.
It was in...
Villa...
Hollywood. West Hollywood.
She has another one that's down the street called Villa
No,
Roma.
I think it's Pump.
Oh, it's probably Pump. Okay.
And
They're
like,
all pretty close to each other.
Because it said Pump in flowers.
Right, yes.
In the front.
That would be Pump.
Yeah, because I had to walk past it to get to where my car was parked every day.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was like, that was a cool production studio to work at, but the parking was terrible.
I love that area so much. It's so fun. Like Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood with all the bars and stuff.
Oh my God, you couldn't pay me to hang out there.
It's so fun.
So many people and it's so loud and it's impossible to park. Everything's expensive.
Well, I like it. And there's Vanderpump Rules people all over the damn place and Bravo people, like Real Housewives are just around. It's literally exactly.
It's like your Disneyland.
It's my dream, yeah. Okay, so listen to this. I'll explain it to you. So simple, but get this. So last night's Vanderpump Rules episode that came out, Katie was married to Schwartz.
Okay.
They got a divorce. So this whole season is about their divorce.
Got it.
Basically. But they're still trying to be friends.
Never a good idea. Don't do it.
Never a good idea, but they have so many mutual friends because obviously that's what their show's about.
Still not a good idea. Just make your friends also get divorced.
Then... James Kennedy and Raquel broke off their engagement, so that's also what the season's about.
Okay.
James Kennedy already has a new girlfriend. Raquel living her single life.
Okay.
Well, Sheena, who's a...
Oh, you're getting too many people in here. Only give me the necessary...
Okay.
Take out whoever is not involved in exactly the thing you're about to talk about.
Okay, perfect. I got this. Okay.
Because I am already lost.
No. I got this. Okay. Basically... Someone was trying to hook up Raquel and Schwartz.
Okay.
But Raquel and Katie, who was married to Schwartz, were friends.
Yeah, weird. Like, it would be like if you and Sam got divorced and everyone was like, you and Sam would get along
exactly.
So well, Cassidy. And it's like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
So Katie was like, no, obviously I'm not fucking okay with that. That's like a hard boundary if we're going to be friends, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, then at a show in the episode, Raquel... literally went up to Schwartz and was like, do you want to make out? And then he said no out of respect for Katie.
Wow.
But that being said, was very flirty and made a joke like, are the cameras on us?
Oh, so he
was
said
like
no
kind
because
of interested.
He knew that
yes.
He was being watched.
Exactly.
I mean, still better than Katie.
Then we find out that
Raquel
at a wedding. I won't put any more names in here for you.
Thank you.
At a wedding, Schwartz and Raquel did indeed make out.
No, this is before they broke up or after?
No, this is, they're divorced.
Okay.
So now we know that they've made out.
Okay.
Well, that was this is the episode last night. Well, breaking news in the real world today.
Okay.
Like actually real world today.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Schwartz's business partner, Tom Sandoval.
Yes, Tom Tom.
Yeah, Tom Tom. Who's been with Ariana for the last 10 years dating.
Okay.
Just comes out.
Dating, red flag for 10 years?
Well, yeah, they don't want to get married. They don't believe in it. I know. But get this. Raquel, they find out that she's been having an affair with Tom Sandoval this whole time.
So she made out with Tom...
Schwartz.
One. I'm going to call them Tom 1 and Tom 2. The first Tom you introduced me to.
Yes.
And while she was having an affair with the other Tom...
Yes.
Is she friends...
And she's friends with Ariana. Even better friends with Ariana than she was with Katie.
Okay.
Holy fuck.
So this person's just a horrible human
being. Human being. The worst.
Is she just getting, like, dragged to filth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
big time.
As she deserves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And all the people, like, in the show have been posting shit on their social media today. So I've just been, like...
You've just been eating that
up. Oh, yeah. Like, Katie posted clown emojis on her story.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so good. It's so juicy.
Wow. What a bad decision. I always think about this whenever I hear about, like, a friend cheating with their friend's partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going to use you because you're my married friend, right?
That's fine.
Like, if I cheat, if I slept with your husband.
Right. I'd kill you.
No, I know. And we're both pieces of shit, right?
Yeah.
Of course, it's always like, oh, don't. The reason I always think about the woman and like, what a dumbass.
Yeah.
I would literally lose all of my friends.
Yeah.
Because nobody would side with me. Rightfully so.
Rightfully
nobody
so.
Should side
yeah,
with
absolutely.
Me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so like, what? Literally, there is no dick on this planet.
No.
That is worth losing all of your good female
Every
friends.
Every single person.
And then here's the thing. The guy is going to be fucking fine because all his dude friends are still going to hang out with him. Nobody's
yeah.
going to give a shit.
Exactly.
Like, you as a woman are going to get punished so fucking bad.
Even though he's just as at fault.
He is just as at fault.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, probably his friends are separate from, like... He's not going to care that he ruined mine and yours relationship, right?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he'd go and hang out with his friends now. It doesn't
yeah.
matter. I'm like, we'd be the ones in shambles.
True.
Like,
yeah. It's just
terrible.
Like, how is that worth it? How is that worth anybody? And I'm sorry, Tom Sandoval is the cringiest person I've ever seen in my entire life. He literally created a band because he wanted to perform, and he's such a bad singer, and it's so embarrassing. He's such an embarrassment.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, Ariana, my heart goes out to you, girl. Oh, so good. It's just so crazy.
I just think, like, whenever I hear about, like, people cheating like that, I'm just like, how do you even get to that point? Like, why are you even alone with your friend's partner enough to get to know them enough to want to fuck them?
Dude, and...
Like, you just shouldn't be. That's so weird.
Raquel was literally just interviewed by Chicks in the Office. Like, it just came out either yesterday or today, where she said Ariana was one of her greatest friends ever and, like, treated her so well. And you're gonna fucking fuck her man behind her back?
You know what, Amanda?
I'm sorry. I'm so fired up right now.
I might have a lot of things wrong with me. I'm kind of a bitch. My brain is broken severely.
Oh, I know.
But at least you know I'd never do any of that shit.
Oh, you are loyal to a fault, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what? Que sera, sera, baby.
You know what? I know this has nothing to do with my life. I just really needed to get this out because I don't really have that many friends that watch Vanderpump Rules.
I told you, you need to text my brother-in-law, Austin. He's been tweeting about it all day. And I was like, what? That's the only reason I even knew when you said that you wanted to talk about it. I was like, oh, the cheating thing.
Oh, my God. Austin, hit me up, please.
Austin, hit up Amanda. She
needs
to talk about this.
I'm going to slide into his DMs so hard.
And he'll love it.
I did have a knot in my stomach yesterday watching Love Island because it was the Casa Amor episodes and you just don't know if like people are going to be loyal or people are going to cheat and I was a little stressed.
You just said Casa Amor to me like I should know what that means.
I'm sorry. So, can someone just like have me on their reality TV show podcast so I can fucking vent about this shit?
She's trying to teach me too much lore at once, okay?
I know, I really am.
It's only so much a girl in a giant sweatshirt can take.
You are wearing the most giant sweatshirt I've ever seen.
It's huge, and
I
love it.
I could probably fit in that with you.
Oh, absolutely. It says drinking the Kool-Aid on it, though.
It does. In Comic Sans?
Oh, this is Comic Sans for
yeah.
sure. And it's in my signature teal color.
It's so good.
This is from Margaret, got this for me because she had one. Like, so whenever I go stay at my partner's parents' house, I never am like appropriately prepared.
Dressed? Oh.
Like just like prepared. And they have like air conditioning and stuff. So I'm always like freezing in their house. Mm. And so she always gives me this one sweatshirt, and it's a big giant pink sweatshirt, exactly like this one with like a little princess thing on the front.
Adorable.
And I would always steal it every time I would go over there, and I would like sleep in it and wear it. Like if we stay there for a couple days, I would wear it for like 3 days straight. And so she bought me one myself for Christmas.
I love it.
It's so comfortable.
The biggest sweatshirt of all time.
Oh, it's giant. Goes to my knees.
Yeah. It's, you could literally be Ariana Grande in that sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No pants?
No pants.
Big sweatshirt.
Yep.
Classic Ariana.
You got the high pony.
I do got a high pony today. I'm working the high pony.
You're like two steps away from being her.
Basically.
Now sing something.
Oh, wow. I don't know what she sings.
That was pretty good.
Thanks. You're like, wow, exceeded expectations, actually.
If you busted out an Ariana Grande song right now, I would have fell to the ground because there's no way you know an Ariana Grande song.
I do. I know one Ariana Grande song. Are you ready?
Yes.
Wait, I have to
remember.
It
better actually be Ariana Grande.
No, I swear to God it's going to be. I have face blindness, but she's just a big ponytail, so that's fine. Okay, wait. You like my hair? Gee, thanks. Just bought it.
I see it. I want it.
I like it. I got it.
Yes.
It's at Tiffany's and da-na-na-na-na.
Oh, my God.
I knew that one.
I'm so proud of you.
Boom.
That was amazing.
That's the only one I know, though.
That was fantastic. Thank you for that moment.
Yeah. And I only know because she, like, got sued by because she obviously sampled a bunch of mm-hmm. songs and that, and she got sued. And so
yeah, like a shit ton of songs, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
These are a few of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she was getting sued and they were talking about it on Twitter. And then I was like, well, I got to hear how similar it is. And I was like, oh, it's just that song.
Who sued her? Sound of Music?
It was like
the Von Trapp family?
Yes. The Nazis. Are they the Nazis?
They were part
I've
of that.
I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh, have you not?
Mm-mm.
Oh, damn.
I've never seen that. I've never seen The Sound of Music.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I've never seen... What's the one with the chimney sweeps?
Shut the fuck up. You're trying to tell me you've never seen Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins. I've never seen Mary Poppins.
Are you fucking serious right now?
Do you want to know what's even worse? I'm totally airing myself out because like these are two of my biggest movies I lie about having seen. And my sister, my ex-sister-in-law / childhood BFF,
mm-hmm.
Amanda, she bought me... Because Sound of Music is like one of her favorite movies. She bought me the fucking DVD Blu-ray 50th anniversary fucking edition out of it or whatever. And I still never watched it. Well, I also didn't have a DVD player, but.
I just, honestly, I'll be honest with you. Sound of Music is not my fave. It's kind of boring in a lot of parts. But I kind of feel like you just have something against Julie Andrews now.
Oh, is she in both of those?
Yes.
That makes sense why I thought they were the same movie for a little while.
Yeah, she's the lead in literally both of them.
Okay.
But you better fucking watch Mary Poppins.
No, Julie Andrews, she's in a fantastic film. Maybe you've heard of it by the name of
Princess Diaries. Yeah, that's the best movie of all time.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah. And Princess Diaries 2 with Chris Pine.
I don't know if I've seen the second one, but I've seen the first one for sure. I love that guy with his little unibrow.
Oh, Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the lead singer of Rooney.
That makes sense.
So hot.
He's probably related to Mara Rooney.
No, I don't think so.
Is Mara Rooney a person?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't make that up.
No.
Oh, man. I was onto something there. Imagine if I was right, though.
Oh, my God. No, that was dyslexic. It's Rooney Mara.
Oh, fuck.
You had me.
I said it with such confidence.
I was like, wait a second, that sounds kind of right, but also not right. Something's wrong.
When it came out of my mouth, that's how I felt. I was like, this sounds so right, but feels so wrong.
Wow. Oh, God.
Insane. Lots to unpack here. A lot to unpack.
There's just so much happening.
Amanda's like really worried about me because I watched a whole ass movie and thought that the lead character basically was Aaron Taylor Johnson, and it was somebody completely different.
So freaking different.
They look so similar.
They don't.
This is like that time I watched that whole movie and thought Penn Badgley was in it, and then I was like, you guys gotta watch this movie. Penn Badgley's in it. And then you started watching it and you were like, where's Penn Badgley? And I was like, he's literally the lead character. And you were like, do you know who Penn Badgley is? I was like, yes, from you. I have seen that show. And then she goes, Cassidy, this man is 25 years older than him. What the fuck are you talking about?
I can't remember.
I don't remember this. It was like 6 months ago. But do you remember? Because I was like, I know you love the guy from You. Because he was in Gossip Girl and you liked that show, right? And I was like, oh my God, I found this like little hidden gem movie. Nobody's seen it. It's like under the radar because you've never heard of it. And I really thought I was like onto something.
No.
And it was not him.
No. Also, remember we talked about this probably a couple episodes ago, the movie The Shallows with Blake Lively.
Yes.
That is Aaron Taylor Johnson in that movie. And you were convinced that it wasn't.
Oh, my God. What?
With the dreadlocks.
You're right. I'm sure you're right. God damn it.
You were like, Amanda, Aaron Taylor Johnson is not in that movie. And I was like, yes, I know for a fact he's in that movie.
Literally the only celebrity's face who I know is Richard Harmon.
Who?
Exactly. Richard Harmon's my favorite actor.
Who the fuck is that?
I love him. He's in Grave Encounters too, and he's on the 100. He's my favorite ever.
Well, now I have to look him up.
He's in a bunch of scary movies. He's basically like a horror king. And about once a week, I just tweet, Richard Harmon is the most underrated actor in the world.
Oh.
I love him.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen him in things. What have I seen him in? Something
Grave
scary.
Grave Encounters 2. He's in a bunch of scary movies. Woodland,
Was
The
he in
Return.
Scream?
No, I don't think so. He's apparently in something called Scarecrow. He was in The Hollow.
Okay, I have literally never seen a single one of these movies, yet I know him.
Was he in any TV shows besides The 100, aka the best TV show ever made? I love him. He's so talented.
What? How? I've never seen a single thing he's been in.
But you know him.
But I know him.
We have like the opposite thing happening.
I know
here.
That face.
Yeah, you know that face anywhere.
I know that emo face.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks a little dead inside.
You've seen Grave Encounters too. He's the lead in that.
I must have, huh?
I guarantee you I made you watch that.
Is that a found footage?
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen it,
They're like making fun of Zach Baggins in it.
Yeah. Okay, that must be how I've seen
him. Is it Baggins or Baggins?
It's Baggins.
I always say Baggins, like he's from the
Bilbo.
Lord of the Rings.
No, it's Baggins because I had to look it up once because I was so upset about how I was saying it.
I actually just was rewatching The Lord of the Rings. Holds up. So good. Some of the best films ever made.
They're good. They're really good.
Liv Tyler. That's a face I remember.
That's a good face.
That's one of the most beautiful human beings
that's
in the world.
That's a beautiful face.
She has the most just angelic, beautiful little face.
She really does.
She's so pretty.
Hard agree. She is stunning.
I could not guess her age to save my life. If you showed me pictures of her, I'd be like, I don't know. She could be 16. She could be 47. I don't know.
I couldn't either.
And
she's
just beautiful.
So perfect.
Ageless beauty.
Wow. This is like the first female celebrity I think we agree on. We don't agree often.
We don't. We have very different vibes.
Yeah. But she is a true goddess.
I thought we agreed on Hilary Duff.
Oh my God. Hilary Duff is perfect.
Yeah, she's so pretty.
Oh, thank God.
We agreed on that one.
I would have had to murder you inside this closet.
Oh,
if you said
shit would have gone down.
Yeah.
Okay, fair, fair, fair.
She's a queen.
All right. So, speaking of Patreon.
Were we speaking of that?
like an hour ago.
Literally an hour ago.
Yeah. That's how we started talking about movies.
Yeah, talking about movies. Here we go.
Okay, so speaking of Patreon. First of all, if you guys are not on our Patreon yet, go do it. We have subs starting at $2 a month. $2. And that you get bonus episodes. It's not just like, oh, support us for $2 a month. You literally get a shot of Kool-Aid every single month, which is our bonus banter episode. You get the S-Word series, and you get all of our regular episodes ad-free on Patreon for $2 a month. It's totally worth it.
Totally.
And for $5 a month, you literally get hundreds of bonus episodes. $10 a month, you get hundreds of bonus episodes, plus a ton of video content. Like, just go check it out. And these wonderful people have already checked it out and decided, yes.
That was a really good pitch.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to join.
You should join.
I should.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, bling, bling, bling.
That's right.
Oh, and if you can't afford to join Patreon, I understand that too. Just leave us a 5-star review because that is also super helpful.
Hard agree.
All right. So welcome to Hallie.
Hi, Hallie.
Welcome to Corey.
Corey, hello.
Welcome to Isis.
Isis, hello, yes.
Welcome to Abby.
Abby, hi.
Welcome to Claire.
Hello, Claire.
Longtime listener, Claire.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to Tori.
Hi, Tori.
I like the name Tori.
That's like a strong name.
That's a really strong name. I feel like if you're named Tori, I feel like you're really good at sports.
Yes.
Like, naturally.
Well, because Tori in the 90s, I feel like, was in all the shows and movies as like the cool chick.
Oh, like she was cool, the one she's like, sports girl. I play soccer. Yes. And I'm good at it.
That's Tori.
Okay. Welcome to Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And to Emily.
Emily, hello.
Oh, and welcome to Sonia, who is the mom of Austin, who is my brother-in-law.
Yes.
My brother's husband's mom.
Hello, Sonia.
Welcome, Sonia. And we have one more person, Brandy.
Hello, Brandy.
Brandy, thank you so much. Brandy. Ooh. What a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Oh, wow.
But my life, my lady, is the sea. Bom, 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 bom. You don't know that song?
I do know it, but I don't think I knew it
said
Brandy.
Hey, you say Brandy.
Wow.
I think it's Brandy.
Oh, I think you might be making it
up. Is it Mandy?
I don't. Barry Manilow?
It's Brandy today, everybody.
Is it Barry Manilow?
No, the name of the song.
I know. I'm saying, is he the one that sings it?
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
Well, Brandy, thank you.
you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my love, and my lady is the sea.
That's
unfortunately.
Right. That's right.
For me. Me.
You are just Ariana Grande-ing it out right now.
Once you get me started, it's hard to get me stopped. All right. So thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon. We totally dig you. I mean, you guys are like the biggest supporters of our podcast and the main reason we get to keep doing this thing. Hopefully you're enjoying those bonus episodes. You're enjoying that coverage of Hellier and you're enjoying the new video. We're going to keep doing little videos like that.
Yeah,
like
we're
shorter,
just going to like pop them in there.
Free form videos about topics that you guys suggest. So feel free to go on the Patreon and suggest topics for us to talk about and we will just do it.
We really will.
We're just going to do it, man.
Yeah, we don't care.
I also wanted to thank some people who bought us some beers. Thank you to Victoria Wing on IG. Bought us 3 beers and said, hey, ladies, my best friend Jordan, who bought you drinks in episode 146, introduced me to DTK a few months ago, and I've been obsessed ever since. We text about DTK weekly and compare our friendship to yours often. The pod keeps us going when teaching and motherhood got the best of us. Sending love from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I fucking love that. Like, friends texting about us.
Friends texting about us who are friends who text each other.
So cute. That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
It's like friendception.
It really is.
And thank you to Kadra from Perplexity Mystery Podcast.
Oh, hi.
Who bought us 5 beers and said, you ladies are amazing and I love the pod so, so, so much. The world is so insane. So here's to hoping these beers make it a little bit better.
Aww. Oh,
they will, Kadra.
They will.
They will.
Thank you.
And last but not least, at Jacob Y on Twitter bought us 3 beers and said, go buy yourself something nice, like a Whataburger breakfast. Because apparently in episode, like, 110, I talked about Whataburger, and I said it wasn't as good as In-N-Out, and I have upset the Texans.
Oh. You're going to get Texas to cancel us.
You know what? All my exes live in Texas, like I'm George Strait.
Mine do, actually.
That's actually true for you. I don't think I have any exes in Texas, because I don't think I have anyone who would make it in Texas.
Well,
but thank you guys so much. That was so nice. Once again, like, your support for the podcast is the only reason we can keep doing this. And so we just, like, really, really appreciate when we get little beers from y'all or Patreon joins.
Or even just, like, a nice little message.
Oh, but just do remember, go review us wherever you're listening right now, whether it's Spotify or, I know on Spotify it literally takes 2 seconds. You just hit 5 stars. It makes such a huge difference for us getting pushed in the algorithm. And then if you're on Apple Podcasts or like Stitcher or somewhere where you can actually write out a review, that makes a huge difference too. Like, please, thank you guys so much. You rock.
It means literally everything.
You rock, you roll, you run around, you live in a hole.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. You're really on it right now.
Thanks. I don't know what my.
You said you were tired, but. You're zip-zap-zopping all over the place.
It's this belching beaver, man. It's good. Oh. It's got my creative juices flowing. I'm like, ooh, raspberry, blackberry, my two favorite berries.
Wow, you just rubbed it against your head.
I put it near.
Okay.
I thought it would be too cold to put it on my head.
That's why I was like, what is happening right now?
I do have a new thing that I like to do where I like to try and balance things on my dog's head.
And
then she just stands there so scared that she's going to drop it.
Yes.
And then when she is good and I take it away, she gets all excited and happy.
Yes.
And then she gets a little treat.
I think that is really fun. I do that to my dog too. I put little pieces of food on his nose.
Oh, see, I got so good. I can balance a wine glass on my dog's head.
Wow.
I know.
And she just lets it happen?
Yeah, she's not happy about it.
Oh.
I mean, she's scared.
Is this animal abuse?
she's scared because she knows that it might fall over.
Oh, shit.
But then when I take it off, she's like, oh, my God, I did it. She gets all excited and she wiggles her little tail and she jumps on me and gives me kisses.
Wow.
It's pretty cute and fun.
Love to see her be that calm for 5 minutes.
It's really the only way to calm her down. She's pretty calm right now.
She is the most spastic dog I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, she's insane. My dog has two modes, and it's either dead asleep or literally running in a circle and screaming.
Yes, pretty much. That's it.
Those are the only two moods. She's never just, like, having a casual night.
No.
It's either dead asleep or potentially high on some sort of amphetamine.
And then every once in a while, she'll produce this podcast, but...
Yeah, when she can get her act together.
Pretty much.
She's got a good union, though. She's, like, impossible to get rid of.
So true.
Oh, my God. All right. Are we ready to get started?
Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Do you need another belching beaver?
I would love another belching beaver.
I think you need it.
Beaver.
Bieber. Speaking of drama. No. We're not getting into Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez, guys.
We did that on Patreon already.
We can't do it again.
We
it's
did it on Patreon.
Much.
Join the Patreon. Okay, so you're going to love my story this week.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're going to fucking love it. I'm doing a scammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scam likely.
So I'm going to be talking about the curious case of Malachi Love Robinson.
Okay, baby.
Have you heard of this? Do you need me to open that for
you? Yes, please. Sorry, my nails were going
to
break.
Amanda has fake nails, and so I have to open her beers for her sometimes. But it's fine.
Thanks, Mom.
It makes me feel important.
You are important.
Necessary.
And yes, I do believe I know this.
Yeah, it was really, really famous one. But the details of it are crazy. Yeah, I guess.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Does it have to do with being a doctor?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes. I love this story. This is actually probably one of my favorite stories ever.
Me too. And I mean, obviously we all saw the memes, the picture of him, mm-hmm. whatever.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good. But I did not know all the details. This guy was fucking scamming. And he can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. Okay, so my sources today were CNN article by Jeffrey Acevedo and by Joseph Netto. An NBC News article by Eric Ortiz, two different BuzzFeed News articles by Letitia Miranda, and another by Poco Rapan Niamene, I think.
Okay, that sounded good.
Or Niamene. ABC 25 Local News on WPBF by Terry Parker and USA Today. So Malachi Love Robinson was born in West Palm Beach, Florida in 1997.
Oh, my God.
He is younger than us.
He is younger than us. What the fuck?
He's younger than my little brother, Carter.
What the fuck?
Isn't that crazy? Because I think Carter was born in 96. His childhood is not great. He's diagnosed with lupus at a really young age.
Aww.
And his single mother did not have a lot of money, so she struggled a lot. So she had a hard time affording his medications for lupus and even keeping a steady roof over her head and Malachi's head. And she ended up with multiple evictions. So Malachi went to go live with his grandparents from the time that he was 13 on. When he was there, he was really sick because they were trying to figure out like a good medical routine for him for his lupus, because autoimmune diseases are like really, really individual. Like there's not just one thing. Like, oh, take this pill and it'll fix it. It's, like, mm-hmm. different for everybody. And I think lupus is what
Selena Gomez
has. Yep. And because it causes kidney problems, that's why she needed a kidney transplant.
Yep.
So His grandmother actually homeschooled him because he was too sick to like attend regular school, and his grandfather got him into like holistic treatments for his autoimmune because like they were doing all these steroids and stuff and they just didn't feel like it was working, so he kind of learned about holistic medicine and stuff like that.
Okay.
His grandfather was also like a pastor or preacher or something, so he was kind of into like the woo-woo medicine.
Yeah, like spiritualism.
Yeah, like that
stuff.
Weird like combo when they're like, oh, it's holistic medicine and it's also spirituality medicine. It's kind of...
And it's also essential oils.
Yeah, shit like that. So because he spent so much time growing up in and out of hospitals, he seemed to have a desire to emulate all of the powerful doctors that he watched basically have his life in his hands time after time after time. Mm-hmm. So when he's 16, he tries his first medical scam.
16.
So after maybe or maybe not graduating high school.
Maybe or maybe not.
There's some debate. So
well, he's only 16. How do you graduate at 16?
Because he was homeschooled and he was like doing online school.
Oh, geez.
And allegedly he graduated at 16. Like, I don't know if he got his GED or if he actually graduated. But then some of his family members are like, he never even finished high school. But he tried to say, because he's just like a liar. He just lies all the time. So when you talk to him, he's like, no. I graduated high school early because I was so smart. And then I like sped through college for the same reasons because I'm so dang smart or whatever. So I don't know.
He must have been a really good talker.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Like extremely charming, smiles through everything, good with words, as scammers are usually.
Cassidy.
I would be, if I didn't have such like a strong moral compass...
Oh, you would have
I would
been good.
Be such a good scammer.
Yeah.
But I just really don't like, I don't like the idea of scamming people.
I just really think you missed your calling.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. So he goes to the local school district's offices and he walks in. And
at 16.
At 16. He introduces himself as Dr. Malachi Love. And he's like, yeah, I was just wondering if you guys had any like medical positions open with the district. Like, I would love to work with you guys because like I'm local.
And is they're he like, saying he's 16?
No. He's like, I mean, he isn't saying his age at all. He's just like, oh, yeah, I want a job in like your guys' medical department. Like, what's up? I'm a doctor.
You can trust me. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, dude. Cool. Yeah, like, give us your email or whatever. And then, like, as soon as he leaves, they call the cops and they're like, there was just like a literal child here impersonating a doctor trying to work here as a fucking doctor with the school district. Can you, like, send someone over?
So he looks like a kid.
Yeah, he looks so young. Yeah. That's what's confusing me. Like, sometimes you see pictures of like 16, 17, 18 year olds and you're like, you could be 30.
Yeah.
No, he looks 14. He looks even young for his age.
If I remember the picture, he has a baby face.
Yeah, I was trying to airdrop it to you earlier. I'm going to airdrop it to you right now. And this is even when he's older than this incident. Take a little looksy-loo at that.
The babiest face I've ever seen.
Such a little baby face.
Like, what the fuck? Did he even hit puberty?
I don't know.
What is going on?
So the cops, like, run into him or meet up with him after he leaves. And he just, like, immediately spills the beans.
Oh, no.
He's like, listen, I like to lie a lot. Like, straight up. He's like, maybe I have a compulsive lying problem. I don't know. And they're like, okay. And then he's like, well, listen, I'm just joking their asses. Like, it's fine. Like, basically.
He's like, I'm just messing around. It ain't that serious.
He's like, and I think he like kind of was basically like, I'm a minor. Like, really, what are you going to do? And the cops were like, yeah, okay, we'll just stop doing that, please, then.
He was like, I'm just having some fun.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just a little silly, goofy guy. Are you going to be mad at me? I'm just a guy. I'm just a little guy. You're going to be mad at me? He's like, they're like, yeah, don't do that. Don't pretend to be a doctor. Don't call yourself a doctor. Don't try to get jobs as a doctor. And he was like, you got it. And then the very next day, the office gets an email from, quote, Dr. Malachi Love's parents.
Oh, my God.
That says, listen, he actually does have a medical degree. Sorry he didn't have them on him. And we get it. He's a child because he's a boy genius.
Right. Yeah.
And... if you were interested in hiring him and giving him a job, like, we know you called the cops, it's fine, whatever, we'll get over it. Water under the bridge. We'll definitely provide you those documents. And they're like, yeah, no, we're good.
Oh, so they were not buying it.
No! a 16-year-old is not a doctor.
What's that? What was that TV show, Smart Guy?
Smart Guy, yeah. Or Doogie Howser.
Yeah. So it's possible, okay?
Yeah, clearly. All right, so he's like, you know, he's cooking right now. He's like got some things going in here. And he's like, clearly I need to appear more legit than I do now. So how can I call myself a doctor without, like, actually, you know, like, going to school or, like, getting a doctorate?
Yeah, without, like, actually being a doctor.
Yeah. So when he's 17, he goes to this, like, online church that offers a doctorate in divinity.
Perfect.
For $40 online.
Yes, dude.
So he does that, and he starts officially referring to himself as both a doctor and a reverend.
This child is incredible.
Is literally a child.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, I love the panache.
Listen, as long as he doesn't kill anybody, I'm happy.
He actually doesn't.
Love that.
And at this point, this is when he gets his little white coat.
And how did he do that?
He just buys it on the internet.
Oh.
And then he gets it embroidered or, like, sewn in that it, and says his name. Fucking Dr. Reverend Malachi Love Robinson, DDDM. He gets the little letters and everything.
Oh my gosh.
He's collecting letters faster than I am, which is upsetting.
Also, where is he getting this money?
Great question.
Someone
I think
tell
he's
me.
Like in a lot of credit card debt. That comes up later.
Okay.
So this is frankly insulting to me because it took decades for me to gain the confidence to lie about having a PhD and a MD.
And a double D.
Well, I'm not lying about that.
Yeah, that's true.
That one I did achieve. So he's got his little, like, white lab coat. He's fucking wearing it everywhere. Like, according to his friends and family, he would, like, fucking kick that thing on to go to the grocery store.
Why not?
To be like, yeah, I get the respect. I'm a fucking doctor.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Reverend.
If somebody passes out in this grocery store and they say, call a doctor, I'm already here.
How are they going to know I'm a doctor if I don't have my little white coat on?
Exactly. I respect it.
So one day he puts on said little white coat and he walks into St. Mary's Medical Center in West Palm Beach, not far from where he lives. This is a hospital.
Yes.
And he just starts pretending like he's supposed to be there.
He is in the big leagues now.
He's just kicking it old school, man. He's just, like, bopping around. He's poking his head in places. He's behind the... He's signing charts. He's doing whatever he needs to do. He even has a stethoscope around his neck. And if anyone asks him what he's doing there, he's like, yeah, I'm a resident. I'm just, like, a new resident. And everyone's like, okay.
Was Grey's Anatomy already on TV at this point?
He gets away with it. because Grey's Anatomy had been on TV for like 20 years at this point already.
That's true.
He gets away with it, and he even walks into a gyno appointment for a pregnant woman.
Oh, no.
And the fucking OBGYN is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm a resident. I'm here to observe. Like, it's my first day, or I'm, like, shadowing somebody to, like, see if I want to come here. And he's like, okay.
Malachi.
And the guy just, like, said later in an interview, he was like, I don't know, like, I'm an old guy. So, like, all of the residents look really young to me. Because they were like, didn't you realize this was, like, a literal child?
Don't blame me. I'm just an old man.
I'm just an old guy. What do you want? You're going to be mad at me? The old guy?
It's like, sir, if you're saying you're old and you just couldn't figure it out, then maybe you shouldn't be looking at women's vaginas anymore. I don't know. Just a thought.
I mean, I personally think that it should be illegal to be a male OBGYN, but
100,000%.
But that's a whole other discussion.
Yes.
So Malachi later goes on, like, when he gets in trouble, he's like, actually, I was there shadowing doctors, and that pregnant woman was my cousin. So it's fine. And then also, I think he tried to tell somebody else that it was his wife. But it was his cousin, maybe?
Maybe
I don't know.
Cousin, wife?
He just, like, lies so much. It's, like, impossible to know what is actually going on at this point.
Well, obviously none of that is true.
No, nothing. You can't trust anything that comes out of this man's mouth. Boy.
Boy. Child.
So the cops do show up, and they take a fucking police report, because eventually a patient is like, do you guys not see that there's, like, a literal child walking around dressed like a doctor? Like, this is not normal. And they, like, tell somebody. They're like, literally a child just walked in here and was like looking at my chart, and he had a little white jacket on and a stethoscope. Like, what is happening? And the nurse is like, oh, I don't know. Like, who was he? And she's like, the child in the white coat. What do you mean?
They're like, why do you not have security figuring out who's actually a doctor here?
Exactly.
And, who's not?
And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, who is that guy?
Oh, my God.
And then they call the cops, and the cops show up. And because he's a minor and he hadn't actually done any medicine, he'd just been, like, kind of lurking around. And while it is illegal to impersonate a doctor, he just was kind of, like, vibing. And he was, like, underage. He was a minor. So they're like, can you just not do this, please?
They're being so nice to him.
Literally.
Like, can you just stop, dude?
And they're like, just cut it out. Like, go home. What are you doing? Like, don't do this. Get any other hobby. Maybe get into fucking macrame or something. I don't know.
Be in the school theater department. I don't know.
And I don't know. I just feel like maybe the cops should have confiscated his jacket and stethoscope at this point. I'm, like, very anti a civil seizure by police, but, like, it just seemed like probably the right thing to do would have been to take away the little jacket.
Well, I just feel like he would have gotten another one.
You know what? You're right, but at least they could have said they tried.
That's true.
But Malachi is not deterred by this brief misstep. And he goes, you know what? I think the biggest issue here is that, like, I'm not getting paid and I'm not building my resume.
Absolutely.
Like, that is the problem.
You better work on that.
So in 2015, right after his 18th birthday, Malachi applies to be the director at a healing center for people struggling with addiction and recovering from traumatic brain injuries.
No, buddy.
His resume is really impressive. The lady running the center is like, oh my gosh, there's this 28-year-old French man who came to the U.S., at 10 years old.
Wow.
And the reason he looks so young is because he had, like, an illness when he was really young. So he, like, is underdeveloped. And he has a PhD in psychology from ASU, Arizona State University.
No, he doesn't.
And there is something a little weird. Like, on his birth certificate, it does say that he's 18. But that's just because when he came over here and he became an American citizen, they accidentally put his arrival date into America as his birthday instead of his real birthday. Like, so silly. Classic mistake.
I think he might actually be a boy genius at this point.
And she's like, that makes sense, especially since I'm looking at your transcripts from ASU right now. And I see you are a wonderful student. You had a 4.7 GPA. You're killing the game.
Fire this woman.
He just made these transcripts. And then he showed her his real-ass birth certificate that said he was 18, that he had just turned 18.
Well, yeah, how can he fake a birth certificate?
Oh, my gosh. And so he gets hired as the program director and a counselor at this place. He was running the show. Like, people there were like, oh, yeah, he was in, like, big meetings with, like, investors. And he was, like, literally advising doctors on what medicine to prescribe to patients after their counseling sessions. He was making over $70,000 a year.
What are we doing wrong?
I don't know.
Why am I in a closet with you and a smelly dog right now? And Malachi is a doctor?
Malachi is fucking killing it.
Wow.
But, you know, people obviously who actually know him are like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, they're, like, aware of what he's doing.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm a doctor now. And they're like, no, you're not. We aren't even sure you graduated high school.
He's like, want to bet?
Yeah, he's like, bet? You want to see my $70,000 salary?
Yeah.
So someone who knows Malachi personally sees all this happening and is like, this is probably, like, not great. And so they write an anonymous letter to the Department of Health airing out Malachi for not only being 18, but also not having any of the training or the degrees that he says that he has.
Yes. Good.
Luckily, they actually do take this letter seriously and they open an investigation. But by the time they kind of start getting into it, only a few weeks later, the owner of the clinic had ended up closing down the practice and had laid off the whole staff so she could sell it.
Oh.
But despite Malachi not having this job anymore, the medical board does come and interview him for their investigation. And he once again is just like, yeah, I just lied. I just made all this shit up. I faked my resume. I don't have any of this accreditation. But, like, I think I'm still, like, a doctor.
Oh, he's, like, an honest liar.
he just can't help but spill the beans, like, a little bit.
Yeah, he can't
but
stop.
But he's still, like, but he's, like, no, but I'm a doctor.
Okay, so, like, a little delusional.
And then he'd be like, well, I never said I was an MD. I said I was a doctor, which technically I am. I have a...
And a reverend.
A doctorate from this weird church in Florida.
That church should also be shut down.
Yeah. So, but either way, the health department is like, okay, man, well, like, you don't have that job anymore. And also, since, like, he didn't have the job actively, they weren't sure exactly what he was doing. So they're like, well, if you were just, like, an administrator, like, technically, I guess, like, it was, like, a weird thing.
And, of course, Malachi is going to say, that's exactly what I was.
Yeah, he's like, whatever you're thinking that's legal, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah. So they're like, can you just not do that?
Once again, yeah, for the, like, third
they're
time.
Like, they're like, hey, man, can you just cut that shit out? And, like, he's like, sure.
How many times do we have to tell you, Malachi? Stop. Just stop what you're doing.
And he's like, you got it, buddy. I'm cutting it out. I'm turning a new leaf. But secretly, our man has not stopped scamming. And this is when he takes his scam, like, a little bit in a different direction.
Uh-oh.
He's got that fighter blood in him, man. He's fucking, he's not going down. So despite having a 70K salary at this weird job he had, he was in deep credit card debt.
For what?
Who knows? But he realizes that his, like, corporate credit card that he had that had, like, almost no limit on it from the business hadn't been canceled yet. Mm. And he never, like, turned it in. So our dude just, he's going. He starts shopping.
Of course he does.
The first thing he uses to buy with the credit card are a bunch of fake diplomas online.
Oh, my God.
And then he buys, like, a new cell phone. He pays off other credit card debt with that credit card. And then he buys a car.
A car.
He buys a Nissan, yeah. So after a few months, when Lisa, the owner, is, like, going over the expenses and all the cards and whatever, getting everything straight, she realizes, like, what the fuck? There's over $40,000 worth of charges on Malachi's card. So she calls him and is like, what the fuck, bro? And he goes, oh my gosh, my bad. I'm assuming that he says something like, I didn't even realize I was using the wrong card. Like, that's what I would say.
That makes sense.
Like, oh, oops.
Total accident.
Let me cut you a check. So he writes her a check for, like, a couple grand to be like, oh, here's the first big payment you need to make on the card. I'll give you more checks as we get closer. And she's like, thank you so much. She goes to cash the check a few days later. That motherfucker bounces.
I am not surprised.
Immediately bounces. While he is getting into credit card fraud, which, respect, he is now missing the rush, I'm assuming. This
of
is
being
me.
A doctor.
This is what I would imagine, like, I'd be feeling. If I was like, the credit cards just aren't getting it done. I miss the power. I miss the sheer rush of being Dr. Love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is what I'm putting myself in that mindset. Like, I would just be like, man, I'm missing that rush of saving lives.
Well, was he really saving lives?
I mean, he was counseling people for, months.
That's true.
And giving them medicine.
At least he wasn't in surgery.
Yeah, no. Like, Dr. Death. All right. So he's, like, itching to get a new scam back going. And lucky for him, he is talking to this, like, acquaintance that he met. And they both are super interested in, like, holistic medicine. And this acquaintance is like, oh, my gosh. I've been wanting to invest money into something like this. What if I gave you $10,000 to start your own private medical practice, Dr. Love?
Don't do that.
Because he's still bopping around throughout this entire time wearing the jacket.
Of course he is. They didn't take it away.
No, they did not. And they should have. So he goes on. He rents a space. He opens this up. He's, like, hiring people, whatever. And it is called the New Birth, New Life Medical Center and Urgent Care, LLC. Urgent Care. As in where people go when they're having an urgent need for care.
Yep, I know the place.
In his staff bio, it calls him, quote, a well-rounded professional who treats patients using a system of practice that bases treatment of physiological functions and abnormal conditions on natural laws governing the human body. Dr. Love Robinson uses a number of methods, such as air, water, light, heat, earth, phototherapy, food, and herb therapy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Love.
But, like, at this point, he's kind of, like, on the radar. Like, people, know about the little scams. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's the thing I was just thinking of. Why is he continuing to do this in the same fucking
same
place?
City? Because he can't. Where's he going to move to?
I don't know. But the police are onto his ass.
The police are way less onto his ass as, like, everybody else in the community. And his own family reaches out. The same person who reached out to the health department reaches out to a local reporter named Terry Parker.
Mm.
And she starts doing stories on him. And he's so fucking confident. He's like, yeah, come in. Check out my medical center. Like, ask me questions. And he's like, well, I'm not an MD, but I'm going to hire MDs. I just am helping to facilitate everything. And, you know, I'm so awesome because I'm an 18-year-old who's like a doctor, basically. These are the interviews that she does with him. Bonkers. So then he takes on a new patient who is an 86-year-old woman who had been suffering with an undiagnosable stomach pain. So she's on the computer, bip-bopping around, as one does, and she's like, oh, this new clinic that opened up not far from me, the doctor does house calls. That's what I need, because I'm an older lady and I'm in pain. So Dr. Love Robinson, ring, 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 I'm at the door, here I am for your house call. And he checks her out, checks her vitals, and then is like, you have arthritis.
Oh, no.
That's the pain. And she's like, oh my gosh, finally somebody could diagnose my pain. He ends up doing 4 separate house calls. And finally, her pain is so bad on the last one, he himself calls 911, is like, we gotta get you to like a real hospital.
So he wasn't doing anything to help her?
No, he was giving her vitamins.
Oh my God.
So she's getting carried out like by the EMTs. And he's like, don't worry, I'll lock up your house. I'll take care of everything. Like, go to the ER and I'll meet you at the hospital. So he ends up meeting her at the hospital and he's like, you need to have all these tests run and all this stuff. And all the doctors are like, no, she doesn't need any of that done. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, well, I need to give her a pap smear.
What?
And she's like, no, you fucking don't need to give me a pap smear.
Why did I literally think that he was going to somehow save this woman's life?
No.
I thought it was going to turn around for him.
No. So basically she's like, get out of here, like everybody here is like, said everything you've been talking about is wrong, get out of here,
and you're still a kid.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know that, she thinks he's an adult human. So he leaves, and by the way, she's already paid him $3,500 for all these visits to her house. And when this woman gets out of the hospital, she becomes aware that Malachi stole her checkbook from her house. Remember when he was like, I'll lock it up, everything's fine.
Yeah, I knew he was going to steal something.
He wrote several fake checks out to himself and to the medical clinic. The first article I read said it was like only a couple grand. And then the next one I read said that he was being sued because he stole over $30,000 from her.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm not exactly sure what the price is, but it was a lot of money. And like, this is an older lady.
Even if you just steal a couple thousand, like, no, bitch, give me my fucking money back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it sucks because when that kind of stuff happens to you, there's nothing. You don't get your money back.
Even when you sue?
Well, if he doesn't have any money, how is he going to pay you back?
He was making $70,000 a year.
Yeah, but he's in, like, credit card debt and shit. He doesn't have any money.
Fucking hell.
So my man here is putting in the work. He's putting in the hours. He's scamming all over the place. But despite his best efforts, in 2016, an undercover cop goes into his clinic seeking medical care and is treated, quote unquote, by Malachi, which is illegal. So they arrest him. He immediately is like, I did nothing wrong. I am just trying to help people and you guys are persecuting me for no reason. He is so delusional. He goes on like to do a million insane interviews while he's out on bail, being like, I'm a doctor, basically.
Oh my God, Malachi, stop.
And then saying, well, I never really said I was like an MD. I just said I'm a doctor, which like technically I am a doctor.
Well, yeah, he's not lying technically about that.
And then I don't know if he's just like so delusional or like he's lied so much he like convinced himself of this, but he's like not dropping it. He's like, I did nothing wrong.
Well, you have to double down.
Oh, he's tripling down.
You have to. I think that's the only way.
And then while he's out on bail, he literally tries to buy a Jaguar car with a stolen credit card.
Malachi.
Like, this guy is just like, he literally cannot stop.
Baby doll, come on.
So he ends up eventually pleading down from all of this and is only sentenced to 3.5 years in jail. Which is crazy because with all the stuff that he did, he could have been sentenced to up to 90 years.
Wow.
And he was ordered to pay back all of the money that he stole from people. But according to court records, none of that money has been paid back at all.
Because he didn't have any.
Because he doesn't have any.
Yeah.
But what's even crazier is the dude literally cannot stop it. He cannot stop scamming.
Still to this day?
So he's released from prison in 2019. And then in January of this year, 2023.
What?
He was sentenced to 18 more months in jail for defrauding his employer. So basically he worked for like a shipping company and he was like connecting with clients and then taking the payments and stuff. But what he would do is he would take the payments into his own accounts or into like a weird LLC he set up instead of taking the payments through his actual employer. And then he got caught. He stole like over 10K and he got caught because literally the owner was like reaching out to his clients being like, hey, you haven't paid me. Like you have all this stuff you haven't paid. And they're like, we paid. Here's the receipts. And they're like, oh, this is not to me. This is to Malachi's personal accounts.
Oh my God.
And like, so he's 25 now at this point. He just got sentenced to 18 months.
Oh, he's going to continue doing this for the rest of his life.
And, oh, I would love it if he would get, like, mental health care or whatever in jail in Florida. I know he's not going to. Clearly, he needs help.
He absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah.
But I seriously doubt that will happen. But as for Malachi, he said, quote, I was a young kid that got overly ambitious and just said, to hell with the rules and the regulations.
Baby, you're still doing it.
I know.
You're an adult now.
I know. And that is the crazy case of the scammer, fake doctor, Malachi Love Robinson.
Oh, Malachi.
Malachi, Malachi. Wherefore art thou, Malachi?
Listen, I'm glad he didn't kill anybody because that would have obviously been way worse. But this man is not going to stop.
No. He even told his, like, new employer, I was reading the article because they interviewed him, like, the new employer didn't want to send him to jail. Like, he didn't want to even call the cops. And Malachi was like, listen, man, I don't know why I do this. Sometimes I just, like, get this crazy idea that I just, like, have to do this. I don't know what it is. It's like a pathology. Like, I'm a pathological liar. I don't know why I can't stop. Let me pay you back. And then he never paid the guy back. And the guy's like, okay, well, now I have to call the cops, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, literally gave him a chance to just pay him back or whatever.
What, like, the fact... Like, it makes it so much more just wild, the fact that he's aware. Like, he's so aware of what he's doing. He's like, I know I'm a liar.
I wonder if that's, like, part of it, though, to be like, that's, like, part of the scam.
Yeah.
To, like, seem self-aware. To be like, no, look, like, I get it. Yeah, right? Like, you can't be mad at me when, like, I get it. Like, I'd be mad at me, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
good.
That's part of the lie.
Damn.
Yeah. It's like when, like, someone does something to you, like, this is on my brain because we just talked about it, like, your partner cheats on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, listen, I was at that party and I was flirting, but I didn't cheat on you. Like, they admit to, like, they admit to something. To make it seem like, oh, well, why would they, they just admitted it. Why would they not just tell me the whole story?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's the whole point.
Yeah, but then it changes and it's like, well, we kissed. Well, and then it changes again.
Yeah.
And it's
when
like,
someone's
yeah.
like, well, here's a picture of you guys and you're kissing in the background. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But it's like they only admit to what they feel like they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's a pathological liar thing to get out of it. Crazy, right?
Love that shit.
Yeah. It was so
wild. I love it so much, but also.
So scary.
Let's maybe figure out a way that he doesn't continue this when he gets out of jail again.
Well, this is the problem with, once again, with, like, jail. Jail is not going to reform him. That's why we need a better system. We need reformation of people who commit crimes. Because, like, this is a guy who's just going to keep scamming the rest of his life.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, but, like, maybe if he got mental health care and mental help, but he's not going to. He's going to be in jail. It's going to get worse. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And he's only in jail for 18 months at this one.
Yep.
At this point.
Yep.
Wow. Well, great job.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Dr. Love, baby.
Dr. Love. A name like Malachi.
I know. That's a good name, too. Malachi Love Robinson.
It makes me think of, I think, like, the lead guy or the lead kid in Children of the Corn is Malachi.
That's like a strong
it's
name.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Your turn.
Okay. For my story today, I have kind of like a little listicle. So I have like four different mini stories in one.
Oh, that's your favorite thing to do.
I do like to do that. When I told my story last week, the Terry Jo Duperrault, I briefly talked about how these porpoises came to kind of like support her through her journey on the sea. And it was just the cutest thing ever. So I just felt like I needed to research some heroic animals today.
I like that. That's a good one.
I know. So that's what we're doing.
Let's get it.
So my sources were nerdnomads.com by Maria Wolf Holglan, Old Post Gazette by Michael A. Fuoco, the book Random Acts of Kindness by Animals, Inspiring True Tales of Animal Love by Stephanie LaLand.
Now that's a book.
It is a book, and I read it. PetsLadies.com by M.D. Dubroff and Wikipedia. So to start off my little listicle today, we are going to talk about one of the most famous dogs who comes straight out of Tokyo, Japan.
Okay.
And his name is Hachiko.
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 Cute.
So a man named Hidesburo Uno was a professor at Tokyo University, and he had always wanted a purebred Japanese Akita, like his whole life. So Hachiko the dog was born on November 10th, 1923, at this farm in the Akita Prefecture in Japan. And he lived on this farm for about a year. And Aisaburo went to this farm to kind of just like look at all the dogs on the farm, met Hachiko, and just instantly fell in love.
Oh, that's how it happens.
Yeah, love at first sight. So he adopted him and brought him back to Shibuya, Tokyo.
Okay.
So like I said, instantly, they became best friends, and they were literally inseparable. Every day, Isaburo would commute by train to the university, and Hachiko would go with him to the train station, watch him get on the train, and then Hachiko would, like, go around the town, spend in the day. Maybe he would go back home, take a little napsy-poo, and then at exactly the right time every single day, he would go back to the train station, meet his owner when he got home from work.
Big Sydney vibes.
You think she would do that?
Sydney knows when I'm coming home or my partner's coming home, like, before they should, she should ever be able to know.
But I also think that if you got on a train and left her somewhere, she would have a meltdown.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
She would probably throw herself on the train tracks.
But, like, she will, like, go over to the door and sit like 5 minutes before my boyfriend comes home.
Yeah, dude, dogs are
and
fucking...
And I'm like, how do you know that? He doesn't even come home at the same time every day. That's the thing. It'd be one thing if it was like the same time every day. She just knows. It's like she can smell him from a mile away or something.
She can.
And then I work from home, so it's usually him coming home. But I was out once and I came home and he was like, oh my gosh, she was right. And I was like, what? And I was like, she went and sat over by the door and then you came through the door like 5 minutes later. I was like, 5 minutes ago, I was, like, getting out of an Uber. What do you mean?
Dude, a dog's nose is insane.
Crazy.
It's insane. So Hachiko did this every single day for 2 years until on May 21st, 1925, Isaburo didn't get off the train.
Oh, no.
It turned out that at work that day, he had a sudden cerebral hemorrhage and died.
Ugh, that's my biggest fear.
Literally my biggest fear, too. Well, one of the other 100 many fears I have.
Yeah, you got a lot of fears.
I do. And yes, if you were wondering, I was absolutely crying the entire time that I was writing this.
I was going to say your
I'm
eyes
getting
are
emotional.
Watering
I know,
right now.
I know. This story is just very emotional. So Hachiko, his fucking loyal ass best friend, was taken in by his former gardener. And for the next 10 years, Hachiko went to the train station every afternoon and sat there for hours. I'm going to cry right now. Sat there for hours hoping to see Isaburo come off the train, and he never did.
Is that the whole story?
No.
Okay.
It's just really emotional. Okay, let me calm down.
I was like, where does the dog save someone?
No, he doesn't save anybody.
Oh, he's just a
good boy.
He's just depressed.
He's a good boy.
Okay, I'm sorry. You said it was stuff about animals saving
people.
Well,
everyone else is heroic. He was not really a heroic one.
Okay, you just liked him.
He's a good boy.
That's fine. I have no complaints. I just was wondering.
So in 1932, a huge reporter in Japan caught wind of this story of Hachiko. And he actually went and met the gardener who now owned Hachiko and kind of like learned all about his backstory. And then he wrote a whole news article about him and published it in the paper. And the second this shit was published, Hachiko became an overnight celebrity and literally a local hero in the community. In 1934, a statue of Hachiko was put up right in front of the Shibuya train station and was actually unveiled to Hachiko himself.
I think he was there. I've actually seen like a photo of that.
This is actually a huge story. There was even a movie made out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say this is sounding very familiar.
On March 8th, 1935, Hachiko passed away from cancer at the age of 11, and he was found on the street right next to the Shibuya train station.
Oh, baby.
His remains were cremated and his ashes were buried right next to his original owner, Isaburo Uno. And then his body was taxidermied.
I thought you said he was...
So his insides were cremated.
Oh, okay.
And then they taxidermied his body and put it on display at the National Science Museum in Uno, Tokyo.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
And there's tons of statues and artwork all around Japan, like, of this dog.
Yeah.
And there's even an Akita dog museum that honors Japan's most loyal hero, Hachiko.
I like that.
That's so cute.
That is really cute. Amanda's like, we just talked about a bunch of dead babies on Patreon yesterday, so now you needed something.
I really did. I needed some, like, uplifting. Just sweet little animals today, okay? This is the only thing that makes me happy in this world.
Fair, fair, fair.
So for my next one is a short and little sweet one that took place in Denver, Colorado in 2009. So Megan Howard and her friend Samantha Kusk were classmates and friends that lived together while they were in college. And Samantha actually had a 2-year-old daughter named Hannah.
Okay.
That also lived with them, obviously. So Megan was just a really good friend and she would often help Samantha out while and watch Hannah, like while she had class or had to go to work or whatever. So one day, Megan was feeding Hannah in her high chair, and she just, like, was running to the bathroom for literally a minute. But while she was in the bathroom, Hannah started choking on the snack that she was eating.
Oh, no.
So Megan's in the bathroom, and then she starts hearing her parrot, Willie, squawking and screaming, and he starts saying, mama, baby, over and over again, as loud as a parrot can possibly do.
And they can do it really loud.
Yes.
As someone who used to parrot sit.
Oh, God. I got to be honest, not a bird fan.
I know you aren't.
But Willie seems pretty cool.
Willie's doing his thing.
He is. So at this point, Megan obviously heard Willie freaking out. And she knew that he knew the word mama because he called her that because he was her mama. But she had never heard him say baby ever.
Yeah, and they usually have like a set vocabulary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second that she heard that, she instantly knew Hannah was in trouble. So Megan ran out of the bathroom literally immediately while she heard Willie screaming, and she saw Hannah's face was turning blue.
Oh.
So she quickly grabbed Hannah, did the Heimlich maneuver, and a piece of Pop-Tart flew right out of her mouth.
Wow.
So Samantha, Hannah's mom, mm-hmm. was, you know, so incredibly thankful to Megan for saving her daughter's life, and Megan's like, No, bro. Like, I left the room. Like, I actually almost caused your freaking daughter to choke to death. Willie
saved a life.
Willie is the one that did this. So Willie the parrot was honored by the Red Cross and even given the Animal Lifesaver Award in front of Colorado's governor and mayor of Denver at the time.
Oh, good boy.
So Willie's a fucking good boy.
Wow, you're about to cry again.
I know.
You really fucked up choosing this.
No, it's happy tears. It's happy tears. Hachiko's a good boy. Willie's a good boy.
Good boy.
And now we have a good girl.
Oh, finally.
Two good girls, actually.
Lady power.
Yeah. So my next beautiful little creature was also a worldwide sensation in the 90s. So back in 1997... a woman named Jackie Altman asked her parents, Jack and Joanne, to babysit her pet pig for her.
Adorable. Love it already.
So they're like, yeah, sure. Bring over the little piggy and we'll watch it for a few days. So Jackie brings over her 4-pound, at the time, Vietnamese potbelly pig named Lulu.
Adorable.
Well, days go by, then weeks, and then months. And Jackie just kind of kept putting off picking up Lulu from her parents' house.
What the fuck, Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie's kind of a bad mom. I gotta be honest with you. She's like, yeah, I'll get her later. I'll get, like, she's so happy here. You know
what
I mean?
Don't buy the pig if you can't handle the
jig.
Yeah.
Yep.
The jig is up. The pig is up.
Ooh, that's a good one. So basically, like, months go by at this point, and they still are watching Lulu. And Jack and Joanne are like, all right, I guess we have a fucking pig now. Like, Lulu's ours.
Yeah.
This is our girl.
Oh, yeah.
And they grew to love Lulu. They fed her jelly donuts, which were her favorite treat.
Same, girl. Love a jelly donut.
And within a year, Lulu went from 4 pounds to 150 pounds.
Wow, me too, actually.
But even though she was a big girl, they loved her so much, and they even made a little special place in their house for her to sleep in. And they took her on their camping trips, so they made a little space in their camper for her.
I love that.
No pigs left behind. So in August of 1998, Jack and Joanne, along with Lulu and their dog Bear, headed to Lake Erie for a little getaway. And on August 4th, Jack went out onto Lake Erie to go fishing for a few hours. So Joanne was sitting in the camper, just kind of hanging out with the dog and the pig, when all of a sudden she felt a shooting sensation in her chest, and she instantly knew she was having a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Because only 18 months prior to this, she had the same feeling and had a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
So she knew what it was like.
Yeah, she like actually knew this is what heart attack
feels like.
Yeah, she's
like, oh, fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's happening again.
Yeah.
So Joanne tries to get up, and she immediately falls to the ground. Bear the dog starts barking uncontrollably, but this is a campsite where there's dogs everywhere and
barking
all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not like this sound would have alarmed anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So Joanne, who was still conscious but just on the ground and couldn't get up, she tried to grab an alarm clock that she found nearby and throw it out the window to kind of alert somebody.
Yeah.
But nobody came.
And it's so much worse because you're in a camper. Like, they can't even see that you fell.
Yep. So Lulu, at this point, while Joanne's on the ground, comes over to her and cries what Joanne described as big fat tears.
Aww.
And was, like, wailing and licking her face and, like, trying to comfort her.
This is why I don't eat pork.
Dude, this is why I stopped eating bacon, literally.
Yeah.
Because pigs are so smart and so cute. So Lulu's like, I gotta fucking do something. Like, oink, oink, oink.
Yeah.
So somehow, Lulu managed to squeeze her 150-pound potbelly ass out of the tiny doggy door that was in the camper.
Oh my God, good girl.
And this is like a normal-sized doggy door made for, you know, not such a large animal. So this bitch was persistent as hell, and she squeezed her way out, and in the process, she kind of cut up her little pot belly a little bit, and
aww,
she was
baby.
Bleeding, but she got out, and she immediately ran to the street.
Okay.
So something Lulu had learned to do, and often did with her parents, was to play dead in order to, like, get attention or get a jelly donut, because that's what would always happen. Every single time she would play dead, she would get attention. So that's what she correlated it with.
It sounds like my dog who will pretend that she has a limp.
Yeah, she does do that.
And it's so embarrassing when I, like, take her places and they're like, your dog is limping. Like, you're going to help. I'm like, she's not injured. She is fine.
I've literally seen her do that
And
before.
I'll be like, watch this. Sydney, got a treat. And she'll all of a sudden, she doesn't have a limp. She's running right towards me. I'm like, she's a faker because she wants, like, we were at a wedding and she was there. Because she's Sydney, so she goes to weddings sometimes. And she was literally limping around, and like all these people were looking at me like, oh my gosh, like, you're a horrible dog mom. Like, I'm like, no, she's limping because you guys all have appetizers on your little plates. And she's thinking, God, one of these dumbasses is going to give me any. And guess what? It worked.
You know who she reminds me of?
She was having cheese farts for like 5 days because of that.
She kind of reminds me of Malachi Love Robinson a little bit.
Listen, they have different scams, but they're both scamming.
They're both getting something out of it. So.
Mm-hmm. She knows her audience.
So Lulu the pig walks straight into the middle of the road and lays down and plays dead in the middle of traffic.
Lulu, that's so dangerous.
You know what? You got to risk it to get the biscuit.
That's so true.
But unfortunately for Lulu, most people just drove around her and didn't stop.
Horrible.
Horrible people. So this was going on for quite some time. And occasionally, Lulu would get up, run back to the camper to go check on Joanne to make sure she was okay, and then go back to the street
and just lay down.
Lay dead again.
Lulu, girl, you're trying really hard. You are stupid as shit.
But luckily, after like many, many minutes of doing this and cars just driving by her, one nice man did stop to see if this pig was okay, because he obviously saw like she had cuts on her. She was bleeding a little bit and she looked like she was dead.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck, there's a dead big ass pot-bellied pig in the street. So he gets out of his car and he walks a little closer to her. And then Lulu springs up. And then this man just starts following her as she's, like, running back to the camper.
Yeah.
And when he gets there, the man yells into the camper, "Lady, your pig's in distress." And then without hesitation, Joanne just yells back, "I'm in distress, too. Call an ambulance."
This is the most iconic story
I literally love this story so much. So Joanne was taken to the medical center in Beaver, where she had open heart surgery, and the doctor said if even 15 more minutes would have passed by, she probably wouldn't have made it.
Oh my God.
So Lulu ended up getting worldwide fame from this and appeared on many television shows, was in many news articles, and then grew to be about 335 pounds.
Wow, good for her.
She also received the Tiffany Gold Heroes Medal from the ASPCA.
I love it.
But really sadly, and I won't harp on it because I'll cry, Lulu died on January 30th, 2003 from, ironically, a heart attack.
How'd they know? She got a pig autopsy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Too many jelly donuts.
Special pig.
Yeah. But isn't that just the best thing you've ever heard in your entire life?
I'm also in distress.
I love you, Lulu. You're such a good girl. And now for my final story.
I don't know if I'd pull over if I saw a pig like that in the middle of the road.
I have no fucking idea what I would have done prior to hearing that story.
I was going to say, I feel like you absolutely would not. You would have driven, you would have been like, oh my God, it's so terrible. There's a dead pig in the road. Sam, drive away as fast as you can.
But now?
But now that you know. Well,
now I know.
But now if you're getting out for every dead animal in the road and you're just staring at roadkill.
That's a risk I might be willing to take.
I don't think you should take that risk because you cry if you see a dead raccoon.
One time, me and Baloo were walking and I wasn't paying attention because I'm a bad mom. And I was on my phone and I just, like, he's pulling me because he's sniffing something. And I turn and I look and he's sniffing what I thought was a dead possum. But as we know,
they
possums
play dead. Yeah,
just like Lulu. And this motherfucker sprung up. And me and Baloo, like Baloo, my dog, literally jumped like out of his skin. And we both just booked it down the street.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and started running. Oh, good times. Okay, so for my final story, this one is about a very unassuming hero. And once again, not one of my favorite animals at all. So I don't know the year that this happened in, but an 82-year-old woman named Rachel Flynn and her sister June lived together in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And they loved to take walks on the beach together, and while they would do this, they would often feed the seagulls that were hanging out.
Of course.
So one seagull in particular kind of like became their favorite, and the woman would often feed her and talk to her, and they even named her Nancy.
Good, strong name.
Nancy the Seagull.
Yeah.
So one day, Rachel decided that she was going to go to the beach for a walk by herself while June stayed at home. And she was walking alongside like a cliff that overlooked the ocean when she accidentally slipped and fell and tumbled 30 feet down the side of this cliff and landed between these two giant rocks.
Oh my God.
And she's 82.
Oh my God.
So, of course, she was injured and unable to move.
The fact that she's even alive is amazing.
Literally amazing. So she's like stuck in between these two rocks, and she was also kind of like hidden by them. So it was preventing anyone that was walking alongside the cliff to be able to look down and just see her like,
yeah.
casually.
Yeah.
So all she could do was kind of look up into the sky when she noticed a seagull circling overhead.
Mm-hmm.
It was freaking Nancy.
Nancy's like, we're on the same team here, girl.
So Rachel calls out, for God's sake, Nancy, go get some help.
Yeah.
And then the seagull flew off. Well, wouldn't you know, about a mile away from where Rachel was laying is where June and Rachel live together.
Mm-hmm.
So Nancy flies all the way to her house, and June is just sitting, like, on the kitchen table, and then Nancy starts tip-tapping her beak on the window.
Yeah. She's like, hello, we have a situation here.
Yeah. So June gets up and she tries to like shoo Nancy away. She's like, stop tapping on the freaking window, Nancy. And she keeps doing it like aggressively on the window. And then Nancy starts flapping her wings and she's like freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And June said, and I quote, she was making more noise than a wild turkey.
Classic.
So after like 15 minutes of Nancy like acting like a literal crazy monster and June was like trying to get her to stop, June finally goes outside and she's like, Nancy, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? So then Nancy starts to fly away, and then she, like, looks back at June to make sure June's following her, and then June starts walking with her, like, okay, obviously you're trying to get me to do something.
Lassie-ass bird.
Exactly. There's a boy in the well! There's exactly. a boy in the well! So they start walking, and then every couple of minutes, Nancy would literally turn to look to make sure June was still following her. So she was, like, slowly doing this, like, flying thing and
good
then, like,
girl.
Turning around to make sure that yeah. June was still there. And she led her straight to the edge of the cliff. And then Nancy flew down to where Rachel was so June would look down and see her sister, which she did.
Yeah.
And then Rachel was taken to the hospital and treated for her injuries. And her life was saved by Nancy.
Nancy the seagull. You know what? I usually hate seagulls. I'll respect that singular seagull.
I gotta stand Nancy. I gotta be honest.
I'm also standing.
Yeah, she's yeah. a good girl.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
she deserves all the treats. I would give her any of the Cheetos that they always steal from me.
I know. And she didn't get any awards. I think she deserved an award for that. All the other ones got awards.
Yeah, what the fuck? Where's Nancy's award?
I know. Nancy?
Well, we're giving Nancy.
That's right.
The DTK Award of Honor.
That's right.
For being the goodest girl.
That's for you, Nancy. I mean, I don't know. Lulu kind of deserves that one, too.
Lulu already got the ASPCA one.
You're right.
Come on. Spread the wealth.
I love Lulu so much.
I know you do.
So, yeah, that is just a couple little fun, heroic animals that made me really happy.
Well, if you're ever looking for a reason to go vegetarian, there it is, everybody.
Literally.
That was wonderful. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
For listening.
So I have a listener story here from
Perfect.
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
And Michelle says, hi, Amanda and Cassidy. Canadian listener here.
Ooh, we love that.
We love our Canadians. First off, I want to say you two never fail to brighten my day. Love your banter and your friendship, and love that after all of these years as friends, you're still learning new things about each other. Oh boy, are we. I just finished the episode where Amanda learns that the bunny mug is indeed not a cute Easter mug, and I literally spat out my coffee when she realized it.
Oh, yeah. It was the bunnies fucking.
Yeah. They're fucking like bunnies.
They are.
It's a funny mug.
It's funny. I just didn't know what it was.
My story is from 20 plus years ago when I was in high school. Can't believe I can say 20 plus years ago and I was a teenager. What the fuck happened?
Honey, anyway. I can almost say 20 plus years ago.
Oh, yeah, honestly, same. Anyway... there was a time when I used to spray glitter in my hair every damn day. I remember being done with my last spray can, so I threw it out in my bedroom garbage. The next morning, as I'm going to get ready, I noticed that the spray can is on my dresser. Weird. I thought I threw it out. Chalked it up to me being crazy and tossed it out again. The next day, the damn spray can is back. This went on for over a week.
Oh my God.
I never really knew anything about spiritual or spooky stuff until I was much older, so I didn't really think that much of it. Fast forward to now, listening to your stories, I think back and wonder about it. My grandfather had just recently passed away, so could it have been him letting me know he was still with me?
Aww.
I don't know. Maybe I was just crazy, or maybe there was something else going on that I clearly was oblivious to. On a different note, my dad used to say this fun, weird poem, question mark. I don't know what you would call it, or if you'd ever heard of it before, but I thought you guys would enjoy it. The poem is, "One day in the middle of the night, two dead boys got up to fight. They faced each other, back to back, pulled out a knife, and shot each other. The deaf policeman heard the noise and came and shot the two dead boys. If you don't believe this tale is true, ask the blind man. He saw it too."
Ooh.
I've actually heard that before.
That was kind of, that kind of like sent a weird little shiver down my spine. I did like it.
It feels very Haunted Mansion.
It really is, yeah.
No idea where he got it from, and he hasn't said it in years, but it has always weirdly amused me. Take care, ladies, and I look forward to many, many more episodes. XOXO.
Thank you, Michelle.
That was nice. I liked that.
I feel like it was her grandpa, and he was going in the trash to be like, there's still some spray in here, bitch. Yeah. You still got some glitter.
I grew up in the Depression.
Yeah.
We use things until they're empty.
We don't waste glitter.
Exactly. We don't waste glitter in this family, and you know that. My mom's a big proponent that whenever anything spooky happens, she says, oh, it has to be someone who loves me reaching out, which I think that's a good mindset.
I do love that.
Yeah.
Well, your mom, so last week we talked about how your mom's bathroom door was being locked.
How did
locked
we not
the
even, I don't know how we haven't talked about this yet.
I forgot
me
until
too.
Just now when you
yeah.
mentioned this.
Yeah.
Your mom's bathroom was locked from the inside, obviously a demon or a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking tell the Zozo demon story.
Uh-huh.
I go to bed. My husband comes in the room going, our guest bathroom door is locked
from the inside.
And we never fucking lock that door.
Even then, like, why would it be locked from the inside? That's
yeah.
too weird.
Yeah.
Too
but then
weird.
Your mom said, tell Amanda not to worry because it's probably just somebody that loves her.
Oh, yeah. And I told her, I was like, it's probably her Aunt Pam.
Because yeah.
my mom always likes to think that it's her grandma reaching out to her.
I thought that was like really sweet. It made me feel a lot better because yeah. I was a little freaked out at first.
Always think of it that way.
Yeah.
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 Well, if you guys have a story you would like to send in, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. You can also find our Patreon, our social media, and all sorts of other fun stuff at dtkpod.com, including our merch. And
yes.
pictures of us, if you aren't sure what we look like.
So many pictures of us.
Yeah. So make sure you guys check that out. And thank you so much for listening. But most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid.
We're just unpacking childhood trauma.
Pretty often, actually.
I'm home.
You got one eye going the wrong direction.